After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Happy Easter, a day of celebration. On Good Friday, it seemed that all had been lost. Nothing had worked out the way that so many had thought or hoped. On the Saturday, there was waiting in the grief and the unknown. And then Sunday, and the whole world turned upside down. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And the fact that he's risen changes everything. I wonder, have you ever got some news which changed everything? Maybe you got a place at university. You're about to head off and start a whole new life. Maybe you got a new job and had to move to another part of the country. When we found out that we'd been offered a job by Tearfund in the Democratic Republic of Congo, we knew that everything was going to change. Life was going to be very different from then on. Because of Jesus' resurrection, even more has changed. Everything has changed. I'm going to ask to the people who had asked to come up to the front, come up to the front, please. So, this morning, we're going to think about two women and two stones. The choir thought these might be very large potatoes, but they're not. They're stones. I've asked these two particular women to come up to the front for a reason. Can you tell us, what's your name?
Mary.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for coming to the front. And what's your name?
Another version of Mary, Maria.
Thank you, guys. So, thanks very much. Yeah, you can go. We'll give you a clap. So in our reading in Matthew, we read of two women, both called Mary, who came to the tomb, the cave where Jesus was buried, very early on Easter day. Mary, I think Mary must have been a really popular name then, mustn't it? Amongst Jesus' disciples, we hear of at least 4 or 5 Marys. And in our passage, these two Marys were Mary Magdalene and probably Mary, the mother of James. I wonder how they were feeling as they came to the tomb that morning. The other gospel writers tell us that the woman had brought spices to anoint Jesus' body. Jesus had died just before sunset on the Jewish Sabbath. There'd been no time to prepare his body properly for burial. Maybe the women were feeling like at least they could go and try to do that for their beloved teacher and friend. Now was their first opportunity to do it. But there was a problem, and that's where our first stone comes in. A big stone, much bigger than this one, in front of the tomb. How were they going to move away the stone which had been put in front of the cave in the hillside where Jesus was buried? Matthew tells us not only was there a stone, but there was a seal put across the stone, and there were guards to make sure that nobody could get in. I wonder how the women were feeling that morning. Sad, confused, empty, lost. They came to the tomb of the one who had loved them, given them hope and a fresh start. The one who'd showed them so much about God and his kingdom. The one who they had dared to hope was the Messiah, the rescuer. And now he had died. How could it all end like this? They arrived at the tomb as mourners, very sad, just wanting to be there near Jesus, wanting to prepare his body properly for burial in as much peace and quiet as possible early in the morning. But peace and quiet is not what they got. An earthquake, an angel, the guards fainted, and an empty tomb. That's what they got. When God shows up, the unexpected happens. The angel came and moved the stone. This is the first time an angel has appeared in Matthew's gospel since the birth of Jesus was announced, so that we know we're talking about something new and amazing. The passage says that the guards became like dead men. They fainted, which is ironic, really, because they were meant to be guarding a dead man. And why did the angel move the stone? The angel didn't move the stone so that Jesus could get out. Jesus has already been raised by God. He's already out. The angel moves the stone so that the world can see that Jesus is no longer there. He moves the stone so that when he tells them Jesus is risen, they can go into the tomb and they can see that it's true. Jesus is not there. The same stone that was supposed to be stopping people from getting to Jesus is now inviting them in to see for themselves, to see that Jesus is not dead, but alive. Come and see the place where he lay, the angel tells them. The other gospel writers tell us that in the place where he lay were the folded grave clothes. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see for yourselves. In this way, his story can become your story. We too are invited to see for ourselves, not just to take the word of someone else, but to experience the risen Jesus for ourselves. The stone had been a barrier. Now the barrier is removed. There's an entrance instead. Until now, death had always been a barrier, the end of everything, so final. But now it wasn't. Jesus had definitely been dead when he'd been put inside the tomb, but now he wasn't. Death hadn't overcome Jesus. Jesus had overcome death. So, when we look at this stone, or the stone that was across the tomb, we can remember the stone that covered the tomb. It was a stone that was meant to tell us that Jesus is dead, to keep us away from Jesus. But it's become a stone on which an angel sits and tells us that Jesus Christ is risen and invites us to draw near. Jesus is very near. And then the second stone, we've got another stone. We'll come to what this other stone makes us think about. That's great, you might think, that the two Marys were so excited that they'd heard this great news that the teacher had been raised from the dead and it looked like he was the Messiah after all. But what difference does that make to me and my everyday life now, 2,000 years later? We talked about everything changing because Jesus had risen from the dead. That was not just for then. These changes, that Jesus had overcome sin and death, that this was the ultimate victory of good over evil, that Jesus died as our representative, laying down his life so we could be forgiven and know God. This wasn't only for then, for the first Easter. It was for each of us now, and we can live as resurrection people in our everyday lives. Jesus had overcome sin. As resurrection people, we can know freedom. Freedom from the way that sin can bind us. Freedom from guilt and shame. Jesus has overcome death. Death was the ultimate enemy, and Jesus has overcome it. The grave could not hold him. I love the song that tells us death could not hold him. The veil tore before him. He silenced the boast of sin and grave. We don't need to be afraid of death. Yes, we will still grieve when people die because death was never meant to be. And we will miss people terribly while we're separated from them. But the separation will not be forever. Until this time, death had been the ultimate enemy, the enemy which none of us can avoid. But because of Jesus' resurrection, everything changed. We have been crucified with Christ, the Bible tells us, and raised to new life in him. We're a new creation and we can have eternal life. Our bodies may grow old and die, but like him, we will have a new body and live with him forever. This new life in Christ is life with a purpose. The angel then gave the two Marys a job to do. They were to go and tell Jesus' followers that Jesus is alive and he will meet them in Galilee. This is extraordinary because in those days, people didn't think that women could be reliable witnesses and their testimony didn't even count in a court of law. And yet God had chosen these two women to be witnesses to the most important event in history. Were they afraid? Yes, they were afraid. Afraid, yet filled with joy, it tells us, all at the same time. Could this be real? Could it be that God was at work doing something in a completely different way than they could have ever imagined? Would anyone believe them? Would people think they were crazy when they told them that Jesus was alive again? As we search for Jesus and as we serve him, there will be lots of times when we will be afraid. Jesus understands our fears and he doesn't wait until we've got everything sussed and are all sorted before he comes to be a part of our lives and gives us jobs to do. The risen Jesus will be there with us and alongside us. He draws alongside the two Marys to reassure them, don't be afraid. And they worship and are full of joy, even in the midst of their fear. So, I mentioned the second stone. And to finish, what is the second stone? A few months after these events that we've been reading about, the Apostle Peter was arrested and he told the authorities, this Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. This second stone is to remind us that because of his death and resurrection, Jesus is the stone, the firm and sure foundation stone, which we can build our lives on here and now in 2023. So we've thought about two women, two Marys, and two stones, a moment in history when everything changed, and the risen Jesus, who is a firm foundation for us to build our lives on today. Amen.